D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, let's go to St. Thomas Sports Park for the Titans pre-draft news conference.
Staff and Brian Callahan and his staff for all the hard work they put in up to this point. We also want to thank the support staff has been involved. There's been a lot of change. We've changed a lot of things as far as our processes, our grading scale. So they've been through a lot, and I appreciate everybody's commitment to this process and being flexible and adapting to how we're moving forward. But there's a lot of work that's gone into this. We're well prepared. We're ready to go. Like I said back in January, we're going to be a draft and develop franchise, and this is our opportunity to really build the foundation of this football team through the draft. And the culture of our football team will run through the draft. So this is a big weekend for us. We're ready to go. We'll go ahead with questions at this time.
How much do you guys, with the picks you have and where you have them, do you think you can, how much of your issues, roster issues, can you solve with this draft?
Yeah, I think we have 8 picks. And, we're going to do as much as we can with those 8 picks. If they turn into more picks, we'll see how the draft goes and unfolds. But we certainly have a lot of needs in the team right now. So, we're going to do our best to, stay true to the board, draft the best player available, not really reach for needs at this point. But this is a big opportunity for this organization, really a tone setter, this draft, for the guys that we bring in here right now.
What have you guys learned about Cam over the last even several weeks that maybe you didn't know at the start of the process?
Right? Well, I think we just got to meet the person, right, and got an opportunity to sit down with him multiple times, whether it be the combine, the pro day, his private workout, got to meet his family. The competitive edge that he has, you can feel that talking with the kid. He's very intelligent. We've had him on the board several times with Brian. The family. He comes from a great family as well.
If you guys do, in fact, take a quarterback, whether it's Cam, Shador, Dart, whoever, what do you feel you have in place to not ensure, but to make his path to success better than some of the previous quarterbacks within this organization?
I think one of the things unique to my journey in this profession is I've done it before, too. I've been a part of a young quarterback, number one overall pick, coming into a team that picked number one for a reason, and we weren't good enough last year, so we're picking first, and we have a chance to add a really good player with the first overall pick, whatever it ends up being. But there is a lot of things that I learned from that first lesson of when you bring in a player like that that'll help us in the process. So I think we've added the right players in free agency. I think we have good young players here, and we got to do a lot better job coaching first and foremost, and put ourselves in some better positions. So those things to me are all part of the equation, and I feel good about where we're at and where we're headed and how we're going to get there.
As you went through the process, you said at the Senior Bowl that the process had just begun and that, nobody had jumped to the forefront the way Joe Burrow did when you were in Cincinnati. Was there a key point in this whole thing where when you met with Ward, you said, this guy's got some of what we're looking for?
I think for me it was to how Mike has explained it the whole time is that there was a process to it. We went through all of it from start to finish. Our opportunities to meet with all the players that we met with are all critical points in the evaluation process, and we found ourselves with a really clear vision of what the draft board looks like for us at every position and every round for where we're at. So a ton of trust in Mike and how he went about it. It was really fun to watch those guys with Dave Ziegler and Reggie along with them. Put us in a great spot. And I think we're prepared. The work's been done. There was no particular point anywhere for any of these players that is an aha moment. It's a culmination of all the data points you get and a culmination of all the film and the opportunities to meet and greet all these guys. We brought 30 players in on top of it. From around college football, and we've had our coaches have been busy with Zooms, and we've done all the work we can do on as many players as possible, and so I think that's at the end game is what we were hoping for, is to run a very disciplined process. And I commend Mike and Chad and those guys in the front office for leading that. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Throughout this process, you've talked about your desire to have like 9 or 10 picks each year, ideally, and also to try to get back into the top 100, if at all possible. If you are forced into a situation where you kind of have to choose between those two ideas, what's more important to you in this draft?
Well, I think just having a strategy, and that's really what we've been doing here the last week or so, just working the board horizontally and just seeing the value of each position group. And I think that's how you have to base the decision on. You know, if there's a player there at a certain spot and we think it's the best value for us, you know, we're going to take that player. But if we deem there's a cluster of players on that board that we kind of have the same value on, then maybe we move back and pick up a pick. But I think it really depends on how the board falls. But really the preparation we've put in the last couple of weeks, just working the board horizontally and just seeing where the value lies at certain pockets of the board will come into play there.
How many conversations have you had about the 35th pick in particular, and maybe your list of guys that you would say, if he's here, it's going to be a hard decision to move off of this pick?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of the strategy. We've had those conversations here, especially over the last week. You know, Chad, Brian, myself, Reggie, Dave, we've gone through the whole thing. And that's part of it. You know, you have to be prepared at a certain point. If these players are on the board, if there's a few players that are there, you know, do we not move and take that player? Or are there a few players there that we can move back and maybe pick up a pick? So those conversations have been ongoing here the last week or so.
I guess that pick, 2 days out, is it safe to say you know who you're picking at one? And if so, what would it take to maybe change your mind at this point?
Yeah, no, we've come to a consensus. The entire organization is to stay at that pick, and I guess you'll find out Thursday night who we pick.
Did you have a lot of offers or a lot of interest from other teams?
There was interest. Yeah, I thought that was, you know, doing our due diligence and going through the process to listen to those offers. And there were. I don't want to go into specifics of what the offer was or what the teams were, but there were offers.
At what point did you guys come to that consensus?
You know, it's such a long process here, and we wanted to go through the whole thing. I don't know if there was a certain point along the process, but we were listening the whole time. And then, you know, as we got towards the end of the process, you know, we decided as an organization we're going to stay.
Chad, you brought Dave in here, obviously, a couple of months ago. What's it been like to kind of watch him work, and what have you maybe learned about him through this process?
Yeah, you're speaking of Mike.
Right.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I think, you know, he's been really impressive in how thorough he's been, the discipline he's had throughout this entire process. This takes me back to how I grew up in this business, and I think the really cool thing about he and I is we were trained very similarly. But at the same time, we came to this with different ideas, core principles that we believe in, but also different ideas on how to approach things. And when you get in that room, we've had a lot of really good conversations. There's been a lot of late nights together, and sometimes we don't always see the player exactly the same, but we let the process to work through that, with all of us understanding that we're trying to make the best decision for the Tennessee Titans. And if you keep that in mind, you can work through that with Coach and everybody that's been involved in this. It's just been really fun. Not only Mike, but, you know, also Dave and Reggie coming in. You know, there was a night I was sitting there, and I looked around the room. These guys don't know it. But I was just thinking about, like, wow, this is you know, between the four of us in this room right now, there's 9 Super Bowls. We've all been part of winning championships in our careers. We know what winning football looks like. Coach as well, he's won a Super Bowl. So you've seen what that looked like. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, as of today, you know, we got the first pick in the draft. We couldn't be any further away from where we want to be. But this is the beginning of it. If you're a true personnel man, this is what you want. You want the opportunity to really build a team from the ground up. And Mike's getting every opportunity to do that, and I know he's excited about it.
For both of you, Mike, you said you want to be directed by me. But there's clearly not a top number one edge rusher on this team. You're clearly thin at wide receiver. How are you not directed by need, given those two key positions and where you stand?
Yeah, and that's part of, you know, staying true to the board. I think you're trying to marry up, you know, the need with the value too. You never want to force a need in the draft. And for us, you know, we do have a lot of needs, so I think it's important for us to stay true to the board and really take the best available player, you know, at that pick. But for us, you know, like I said, we don't want to force needs here and force a pick based on that.
You're thinking on that?
What's that?
On needs not directing you at those two positions?
Yeah, I think, I feel the same way. I mean, you want to take the best player available. Everybody says that. Not everybody follows that. The times in my career where I've seen we've made mistakes, either earlier in my career to even some of my mentors, when you kind of reach on a player based off need. Like Mike just said, I mean, we got a lot of needs. So we're just going to trust the process. We're going to trust the board. We're going to let the board talk to us. The work has been done. We're prepared. Now, the draft is unpredictable at times, and I know we're picking at the top, so maybe a little bit more of an understanding of who might be there, who might not be there. But at the same time, we're prepared for whatever comes at us, and we just got to take the best player.
Chad, if you spin it back to Miami's pro day, you know, Cam, he rolls out, throws to Restrepo, and he says to you guys, you know, I solidified it. What does that say about his confidence, and like how much did that kind of resonate with you that he, in the middle of the workout, took the time to send that message?
Yeah, I think you got to get to know Cam to understand that, his personality. I think we enjoyed it. It was a cool moment. Cam's confident. I wouldn't say he's cocky. I think there's a fine line between the two. And he carries himself the right way. I just appreciate the way he approaches the game, his competitiveness, and, just the way he plays the game with a quiet mind and the confidence that he has. I think that's been impressive.
With the needs that you guys have as being so many, and you're kind of bottom heavy in terms of 6 or 8 picks or day 3, can you find immediate starters with day 3 picks out of this draft?
Well, you know, I think that's part of projecting players, and that's really where the scouting really comes into play. You know, when you're in those middle rounds to late rounds, and can you project players to be starters eventually? So I think it can be done. In the past, you know, I'm sure Chad's gone through the same thing. Green Bay, you know, we've picked players in 6th, 7th round that have turned into starters. So that's part of the scouting process, is try to project players that can, you know. Some of these guys later rounds, so they have traits to be starters. That's a big part of the process for us, is identifying those players that someday could become starters, even though they're drafted in these later rounds.
So how do you weigh the premium on players that are ready to play now versus players that might have those traits 2-3 years down the line?
Well, you're trying to take the best. The part of the draft process is projecting, like 2-3 years from now, what they're going to be. So for us, we're trying to take, what's this player going to look like in year 2 or 3? And that's really where I think the good teams separate themselves in these later rounds. When you're really digging on this talent and you're really trying to find, you know, what are the certain traits that are going to project this guy to one day be a contributor or a starter at that level.
Brian, this is for you, and if you guys want to chime in, go ahead. But when it comes to going through this process in dissecting these quarterbacks, how much did Cam Ward, going through the places he went to with 3 different offensive coordinators and being able to really catch on quickly to each system, how does that come into play when you are deciding if he could be right for your place?
I think he's had a unique journey. I think the landscape of college football has changed in the last handful of years with the amount of opportunity guys have to transfer. I think there's a world now where there's some players that, you know, you see nowadays that maybe 10 years ago you might not have ever heard of them. And I think the opportunities for these guys, because of the way the transfers work, especially at the quarterback position, because only one guy gets to play. And these guys have had unique journeys, Cam in particular, to get to where they are, because they've had to learn new teammates and new locker rooms and new systems. All those things factor into it. So there's a little bit less guesswork when it comes to their ability to learn, their ability to assimilate into a locker room, their ability to get along with coaches and to take coaching. And now we also, you know, in Cam's particular case, you got 3 schools worth of people you can talk to as opposed to one. And there's a lot of different opinions that get had, and you get coaches that had him when he was 18, and you get coaches that now, you know, had him in his last season. So I think it's actually a benefit for some of these quarterbacks, because they eventually enter into a lot of the challenges they enter into when they come to the NFL. because they are, they're learning something new. They're learning new people, new faces, a new way of doing things, you know, whether it's a college or an NFL team. So I think a lot of these guys do have some advantage in that nowadays, even though I know it's not what everybody likes to hear, but there is something about that process that allows you to get a fuller picture for who they are as a person and how they learn and their ability to navigate change.
Brian, I think you referenced at the combine that you guys might be interested in another running back, maybe a different type running back. I guess I can see how you want a different, you know, size player perhaps, but is there generally room for a three-back rotation on most teams, do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to have three good backs nowadays. You know, injury is always a part of it too. You know, it's a violent position. Those guys take a lot of hits. They take a good, pretty good beating on a week-to-week basis. And so you're trying to stay as fresh as possible for as long as possible. There is guys that can carry the load and do that on their own, and there's some good ones out there. But, you know, I think there's also a place for a division of labor and shared workloads, and it keeps guys fresher longer. So, yeah, there's definitely room for three backs. You can find all kinds of ways to use those players. I thought both Tony and Tajay had really – pretty good seasons from top to bottom. We're looking for more, I think, at the end of the day. But there's a style of runner that you'd love to add, but I think just having another good third back and the special teams role for the third back as well. I thought Julius Chestnut did some nice things in a limited sample size, but we're looking to keep adding competition and keep adding players to that room, and hopefully we can find the three best ones come September.
Mike, if you were to trade a veteran on your roster during this draft, you feel like you'd be two picks back in order not to be in a situation where you're just using one of your picks to replace the player you trade and kind of coming out with a wash in terms of number?
Say it again.
If you traded player X and, mm-hmm. and only got one pick back, mm-hmm. odds are you'd be using one of your picks to replace player X and you wouldn't be coming out ahead numerically. Right. You feel like if you traded player X, you'd want to be getting two picks back in a deal, most likely?
It depends. I mean, depends on the player, I guess. And we really haven't gone through that and thought about that right now. But I guess it depends on the value of the player and what you have. What you have is the value for the player and what you want back for that player as well. So it really just depends on who the player would be.
How much, Mike, do you feel like what you guys were able to do in free agency helped give you some flexibility here in the draft, or how much did free agency maybe dictate what you'll do here?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're going through these, you know, the free agency process and the draft, you're trying to, you know, trying to fill holes and needs in the roster. So, you know, I think where we started out, and, you know, I think we prioritized the offensive line, you know, and adding Dan and Kevin there. You know, like I said, we want to work on both sides of the ball, offense and defense side of the line of scrimmage. And then getting Draymond in there as another rusher in there, has some versatility. We added some, you know, a linebacker, back-end player. So I think it does give you a little flexibility as you head into the draft and just how many holes you really have to fill.
We've talked at length about quarterback and receiver and edge because those are the obvious needs. When you look at your roster, what position aren't we talking about?
Well, like I said, we have a lot of needs on the roster right now, and I think that does a disservice right now. There's 31 other teams in the league right now trying to figure out other teams' needs. We just met with our pro department the other day to go over team needs, and during the draft, we have up a team needs thing. As we go through the draft, that's part of the strategy. So I think at this point of the draft, it would do us a disservice, really, to identify the exact needs that we have on the roster.
How important do you think, like for you, Mike, having been in Kansas City, Andy Reid's been there forever, mm-hmm. but how important is that stability to being able to develop a quarterback and set him up for success?
I think it's very important. Just having that environment and stability around him, you know, coaches, front office, you know, I've seen it done before. So I think that's a vital process. A part of the process is to have, you know, that environment and stability for that player. You know, I saw it, you know, with Andy, you know, with Patrick and saw how that worked. And same thing with Brian, with Joe. So I think that's a big part of it.
How critical will it be for you guys together to be able to have that if you were to select a quarterback first?
Yeah, no, I think that's very important. And, you know, and having a plan for the quarterback as well, as we've discussed, you know, amongst Brian and Chad, and what is the plan for the quarterback, and having stability there, and creating an environment for that player to succeed is all part of it. You know, sometimes you have to help these players along, and that's what coaching's here for, and that's what, you know, front office is here for, to provide an environment for them to succeed.
Where does Levis stand in that?
Yeah, Will is, you know, a quarterback, you know, in our room, and, you know, he's still developing. He's a young quarterback. You know, he's had some good moments. And like any other young quarterback, they're continuing to develop.
Brian, when you've got a quarterback who makes plays off script, a lot of different arm angles, is it a tricky balance to figure out what you might need to coach and what you might not?
That's a tricky question. I think there's definitely the element of, you know, guys have unique traits, and you try your best to not interfere with those. You know, I don't want to do something that's going to take away what makes a player great, you know, what their edge is. There's also a way that you have to play the position a lot, not all the time, but a lot of the time in the NFL that does lead to success. There's an efficiency part of it that matters, but, you know, when it's time to put the cape on and go be Superman, you know, you see the guys around the league that all do it, and there's a lot of them that can make those big plays and big moments, and you want the quarterback to feel comfortable when it's time to make those types of plays or take those types of risks or make a tight window throw, that they have the green light and the confidence from us that it's okay to do it. And that's all a part of the development. And there's things that they'll make some bad decisions as a young player, and you got to correct them. And then they're going to make plays that are remarkable, and we're all going to be excited about watching it. I know there was definitely moments for me, as you watch quarterbacks around the league, and you just know that the coach is over on the sideline going, like, you know, throw it away, throw it away, throw it away, and all of a sudden they make an unbelievable play. And that's what makes the players in this league. And you don't want to take that away from them. But there's a balance between teaching the situation and the moment, and when is probably the right time for it, and when maybe we can throw the ball away or check the ball down. So it's a balance, certainly. And guys earn the right to do that and earn the trust to do that when they make those decisions and make the plays when those things matter. To me, it's over time you earn the right to do that. And sometimes it's terrifying as a coach, and that's more of a me problem than it is a them problem. So there is a balance, though, and there's a line that which you got to be mindful of, but you certainly don't want to take what's special about a player away from them.
Well, there's been a lot of talk through this process about where this group of quarterbacks ranks, maybe compared to other years. Mm-hmm. You see a Superman that you talk about in this group?
Yeah, I think there's some interesting players in the class from top to bottom, truthfully. But yeah, I think there's some guys that have shown over their college careers that they can do a lot of really special things. You know, and I think, you know, it's your guys' job to talk about classes and comparisons and all those things. And our, you know, we look at what's right in front of us for the year and for that class. And I think we feel like it probably isn't as bad of a class as it's getting made out to be from top to bottom. I think some of these guys will end up being pretty solid players, and I think a few of them can end up being really good. So I feel confident in our evaluation of it.
Along with that evaluation for all you guys, you talked about the touch points in this process. It's well documented. You've basically seen Cam at every touch point you could have. You canceled the last workout with Shadur. Is that about finding every little thing out about a guy, or is it more about maybe confirming what you already think you know?
Well, yeah, I think it's about finding out every little thing that you can find out. At certain times in the process where we figured out, you know, whether it's a physical ability that you evaluate on tape, or it's something with the intangibles in the person. And once you spend enough time with a player, you kind of figure out, you know, okay, we've come to this decision. You know, so for us, you know, we took every, you know, they call them touch points along the way. And, you know, not only you watch them, you know, throw live at some points, you're also sitting down with them and going through, you know, X's and O's and figuring out the intelligence piece. But I think that's why we go through the whole thing. But there's some point where, like, okay, we've answered the questions here.
You said you know what you're doing with number one and you're not dealing. So with regard to phone calls from other teams, would you say don't bother?
Yes, at this point, yes.
Did you guys use all 30 of your 30 visits, and what was maybe the philosophy and how you wanted to use those, what you wanted to find out, some of it medical, some personality, some digging deeper on guys? How did you maybe attack those 30 visits?
Yeah, it depends on each player. Like you said, some of it's medical stuff, some of it's X's and O's on the board. So every player that we bring in is really for a reason, to try to get questions answered. So as we went through that, bringing in those 30 players and identifying those people that we wanted in there, I think we had just questions, to get answered. And that's part of it. When you bring them in the building, they have an opportunity to really meet with everybody in the building.
When it comes to visits, I guess judging from the reported visit, it looks like you had a lot of interest in D linemen. You guys have Simmons and Sweat and Sebastian in there. Do you still feel like that's a significant priority to add to the roster?
Well, I think we need to add depth across the whole entire roster. It just happened to be that position group that we brought some players in that maybe we had some more questions on as we went through the process. But it certainly wasn't we were targeting a certain position. It was just identifying players on the board that we needed to spend more time with, really.
How difficult to find inline tight end that can do everything you'd like out of a lead tight end?
Yeah, I think as the game has evolved, there's less really true wide tight ends, blockers, and the guys who can do both combo guys is unique at this time. But there's certainly guys out there that can still do it. Like I said, as the game's evolved, some of these tight ends have really turned into big receivers in the slot at times. So to find a tight end that can actually, line up, block in line, and do something in the pass game, it's probably a little bit less than it was years before.
Brian, give me your background working with quarterbacks. If you guys do take a quarterback, is there added pressure or responsibility that you feel to develop and make sure this thing goes right, and why or why not?
Oh, no. No added pressure. I think the old adage is, pressure is a bit of a privilege. You get a chance to work with a great player when you pick him at the top of the draft. If so happens to be a quarterback, then that doesn't change anything for me, how I go about my job, what I do on a day-to-day basis, what I believe about the development of the position. None of that changes. It's exciting. It's what you hope for. I mean, it's what you want as a coach, is you want those type of players on your roster. You want to coach them. You want to be a part of that journey. I've been fortunate to be a part of a few of them. It's exciting. And so there's nothing added to what already is the job. That's just part of it. And I'm fully aware of the expectation that comes along with that. And I embrace it. I'm excited for that, to happen.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
I didn't know if you caught Cam's Fortnite appearance and everything he had to say about the football team.
No.
Your favorite coach, Tony Tajir, two of the top five running backs in the league. Calvin's premier wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you got to learn something about Cam. Cam's a smart person. I think he knows. I think he's got an awareness of his audience. Sounds like.
Chad, you talked a little bit about Dave and Reggie earlier. How did you use their strengths maybe in this process and divvy up maybe the responsibilities?
Yeah, I thought it was important when we were building the staff back in January when Mike and I got together, obviously hire Mike, and then looking at how we're going to build the front office. It was important to get some people in there with real experience. It's been in this league for a long time that come from, we're trained the way both Mike and I were trained as we come through this. Reggie and I worked together in Green Bay. He's been in a position before as a general manager going into a really tough situation out in Oakland at the time. He had a top five pick. He took, Khalil Mack, fifth overall at the time. Dave Ziegler is a good friend of Mike's. I've known Dave for a long time. He did a lot of good things there in New England when he was there. He's been a general manager before. He's picked in the top 10 before. Just being able to have some guys in the room, and even Dave, Dave didn't grow up in our system or our process, so it's actually kind of good because he's bringing some good ideas to what we're doing. Because, a lot of times Mike and I kind of see things very similar. And even Reggie, for that matter, but Dave will come with a different perspective, and it causes us all to discuss it, go through it, watch it again, which has been really helpful to us. So having that type of experience in the room has been invaluable to us.
Where are you guys at with the Legarius knee situation? I mean, you were here, so I would imagine it's something that you knew about back in December.
Well, we put a statement out on that. I don't think there's anything that I can add at this point regarding Legarius to what you're referring to.
Mike, when it comes to the draft process and maybe a player who has some character issues from the college time, what's your philosophy and how you look at those guys and how you evaluate if they would still be a fit in this organization?
Well, I think the biggest thing you have to really determine is, have they learned from their mistakes? I think these guys are all, you know, the young players, and we've all made certain mistakes in our lives. But really to try to, you know, figure out, you know, have they really learned from their prior mistakes, and are they a good person? You know, are they going to be good in the community? So, you know, there are players that do have some past issues that you really have to work through. And like I said, you know, you just have to figure out, have they really learned from those mistakes?
Last question.
When you bring in a quarterback, a young quarterback, how much in the draft thinking is there an idea? You've obviously done it on the offensive line with veterans. Mm-hmm. How much in the draft thinking is there, we need to surround him or give him better people on this side of the ball to accelerate his growth? And will that be something that you guys are thinking about with the other pick?
Yeah, like I said, you want to surround the young quarterback with as much, you know, talent and have the environment for him to succeed. But at the same time, you know, we're building a team here too as well. So, you know, we have to do what's best for the team at that point. Of course, we'd like to go out and give that player everything he needs. But, you know, our thinking is right now there's a lot of holes in this roster, and, you know, we have to make the best decision for the team in terms of value of that player.
Chad, you've talked about the evaluation sort of model shifting for the organization, getting everybody on this new model, scouts, etc. What are you hoping that this new evaluation process will bring to the Titans on draft night that wasn't here before, and how you look at players?
Yeah, I think, we're going into the draft this weekend, just trying to find really good football players. We need more of them. And we're excited to head into this and see what falls in our laps here and go from there. I mean, we just want high character guys, locker room guys, culture guys. Obviously, you know, Mike and I come from, and even Brian, you know, more of a trait-based system. We want height, weight, speed. We want physicality. We want toughness. We want smarts. We want instincts. You know, we want it all. I think this process that we've gone through is rigorous. It's detailed. No stone has been left unturned. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean we're going to get them all right. But, you know, like I was told a long time ago, you're not going to get all of them right, but just get the ones right that walk in through your doors on Sunday. So that's our goal, is try to hit on every single one of them. We're excited about where we're at. We're well prepared. We're ready to go. And, I'm excited about, the process that we've been through so far.
We will react to what we just heard from Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and Brian Callahan. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Where does Levis stand in that?
Yeah, Will is, you know, a quarterback, you know, in our room. And, you know, he's still developing. He's a young quarterback. He's had some good moments. And like any other young quarterback, they're continuing to develop.
Will is a quarterback. He's a human being who lives and breathes. He likes mayonnaise.
He's young compared to the three of us.
Yes. And he has an arm that he can throw the football with.
That got a chuckle out of Derek Mason. Yeah. Quickly, the most newsworthy topic: the Titans are staying at one. Don't bother calling. Which I heard plenty of when I was younger. Don't bother calling. What did you guys not hear that you wish you would have heard? Or what was something that was asked that you wished, or that wasn't asked, that you wished was asked in that news conference quickly?
I would have tried a line of questioning that had to do with the current state of certain players on the roster, because I think that is related to who they will draft this weekend. For example, instead of I think you got the predictable answer on the Snead situation.
Yeah.
They're not going to comment on an ongoing situation that hasn't changed really since December. It just has come to light. But I would have loved to have heard a health update on him. How is his how is his rehab, or you know, how is his physical therapy going? Do you expect him ready to go at some point during the offseason? Is he going to be a full go to start the regular season? Because if not, that could affect who you draft. And you could go down the list of other guys as well about the state of their health going into the season. But yeah, in particular, Snead.
That's what I would have liked to hear. And I know TD was trying to press it a bit and see if they would, you know, give, you know, an answer outside of, you know, what they've already given. But, you know, the health is, I think they would have dove a little bit deeper into that. And maybe they would have gave you an inkling of what they were thinking in regards to his potential legal situations that may be coming up. So that's the one thing I did want to hear, like the health of the team and where do he expect starters like Snead to be health-wise.
615-737-1025. You can react as well on our phone and text lines.
Okay, so let's quickly hit the Levis thing, though, because they've signed the other two guys, right? So there wasn't a drill down, a follow-up of, okay, look, if you draft a quarterback, which everybody in the room in the room knows they are, based on that press conference, that's four quarterbacks. So that's, you don't go into camp with four, quote unquote, three veteran quarterbacks. That's very unorthodox do that, right?
He has to be traded.
But I would have loved to see if I could get a little bit more insight there.
Yeah, but it was just funny when the question was asked. It was almost like, oh, I didn't know you were. It was sort of like the Treylon Burks thing.
He was a little caught off guard.
You know, yeah. Treylon's, he's had surgery. Yeah, da, da, da. Well, you should have told us that. It was almost like you really didn't expect anyone to ask anything about a quarterback you drafted 2 years ago and you're about to get ready to draft another one first overall. It was almost like, oh, we didn't have an answer for Will Levis. We didn't. And you said something generic that you asked ChatGPT about Will Levis, and that's what they spit out.
Jared Stillman will join us coming up next to react as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 1025-1063, The Game.
Is there added pressure or responsibility that you feel to develop and make sure this thing goes right, and why or why not?
Oh, no, not no added pressure. I think the old adage is, you know, pressure is a bit of a privilege. You get a chance to work with a great player when you pick him at the top of the draft. If so happens to be a quarterback, then that doesn't change anything for me, how I go about my job, what I do on a day-to-day basis, what I believe about the development of the position. None of that changes. It's exciting. It's what you hope for. I mean, it's what you want as a coach, is you want those type of players on your roster. You want to coach them. You want to be a part of that journey. I've been fortunate to be a part of a few of them. It's exciting. And so there's nothing added to what already is the job. You know, that's just part of it. And I'm fully aware of the expectation that comes along with that. And I embrace it. I'm excited for that, for that to happen.
That was Brian Callahan just now at St. Thomas Sports Park as the NFL draft approaches on Thursday. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, joined by a man who apparently never had Dijon mustard until today, which is something we'll have to unpack at another time. Jared Stillman joins us as we prepare for Stillman and Company. So, Jared, your instant reaction, your takeaway from that news conference you heard today.
Yeah, I didn't say I've never had Dijon mustard. I'm just late to the party on that. Dijon is a fabulous condiment, but I'm not sure I'd say it's the best available condiment if I had to rank them. Sounds like the Titans on their board, and I haven't seen this on a lot of other boards, but it sounds like on the Titans board, Cam Ward is the best player available because Chad Brinker said he was the best player available. Mike Borgonzi said you had to stay true to the board. They talked about the consensus and the process and everything else, but if they're going to stay true to their board, they have the first pick. I guess that means Cam Ward's number one on the board, right?
I'm imagining when they talk about the board talking to us, I'm imagining the three of them at a slumber party with a Ouija board. They all have their hands on it, and it's C-A-M-W-A. It's speaking to them, Cam Ward. But when the report surfaced earlier today, Jared, that the Titans were locked in at number one, I imagine you weren't thrilled with that.
Well, I mean, I wasn't surprised. Were you guys surprised?
No, not at all.
Those reports came out. I mean, the biggest thing about the report coming out for me and Rappaport that the Titans were locked in at number one and that they were going to take Cam Ward was it told me, okay, this is where this front office is going to go with their news and gossip. They're going to go to Rappaport. So, you know, the way Vrabel used to always go to Russini and you could pick up the context clues there, the most newsworthy item from the Rappaport report was not the actual report itself, but it was, oh, okay, so this is who the Titans, at least for right now, this front office, this is who they're going with their gossip, because they clearly went to Rappaport and not Schefter and not Russini and not any of the other ones. So that, to me, was the most telling thing. I mean, we've known for a month and a half that Cam Ward was going to be the pick. If you didn't know when they didn't pursue any quarterback in free agency, that you probably didn't understand how the NFL worked. And then, I mean, when they canceled the pro day with Shadur Sanders, they had their mind made up. You know, Easton Freeze at A to Z reported about 3-4 weeks ago, Amy Adams Strunk went on the trip to the Cam Ward private workout. Like, this has been done. And I wouldn't say that anything today surprised me in that regard.
But Jared, are you surprised to hear that it sounded like they didn't even really shop the pick around? I think you and I see eye to eye that, to me, that's what they should have done to see what the value of that pick was. I guess they were that much enamored with Cam Ward that it sounds like they didn't really put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah, I think Mike Borgonzi missed a real opportunity today if he's trying to sell Cam Ward, because that would have been the opportunity to say, well, hey, people called and we had great offers, but we just absolutely love this pick. And they didn't do that. It was kind of like, yeah, we had some discussions, but no, we've decided we're going to take Cam.
But isn't that where you want to be? Because I've said all along.
That's what I'm saying. Instead of saying, yeah, like, yeah, no, you know, we had some discussions. Again, if you're trying to sell this pick, you know, which everybody outside of Nashville, this is like Will Levis. This time last year, everybody in Nashville was like, Will Levis is going to be a franchise quarterback. And the rest of the country was like, yeah, Will Levis kind of sucks. Outside of Nashville, it feels the sentiment is that the Titans are reaching by taking Cam Ward, right or wrong. If you're Borgonzi and you're trying to sell this pick, I mean, the thing to say would be like, hey, we had a lot of people that had a lot of interest, but that's how much we believe in the player we're going to take on Thursday night. You know, I would say it right now, like, we just love the guy we're going to take. And instead, it was like, well, you know, we had some offers and they didn't. It didn't seem very emphatic, if that makes any sense.
The conversation will continue coming up next on Stillman & Company. That will do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11. Jared, take it away.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Tuesday. Peace.